One time, the Baal Shem Tov was walking with his Talmidim, and they came to a very, very poor-looking house, broken and falling down, and all old, old paint, old wood, old roof, and just like the house is ready to fall down, such a poor-looking house with poor people living inside. And the Talmidim were wondering, what are we doing in this house, in this place? And it's a faraway place. And the Baal Shem Tov says, we've come to this house in order to collect a lot of money from the man who lives in the house. He is going to give a lot of money, a big, big amount of money he's going to give for tzedakah. And of course, the Talmidim are surprised. If such a poor person lives in this house, how could he have so much money? But of course, Kinalach, when you go with the Baal Shem Tov, you don't always understand what's happening, because the Baal Shem Tov is a big tzaddik, and he does all kinds of things, Kinalach, that a tzaddik does. And just like we don't understand, and just like we don't understand things that Hashem does, we don't understand things that a tzaddik does. Okay, and Baal Shem Tov and his students go into the house after knocking on the door, of course. And the lady of the house asked them to come inside. The kids are running around in torn clothes without shoes. The lady has an old, old torn dress on. The chairs and tables are broken. And the Baal Shem Tov says, where's your husband? Oh, he's coming soon. Okay, do you mind if I sit down and wait for him? No, you could sit down and wait, it's okay. And the kiddies say to the mommy, who's that man? And what's he doing here? She says, I don't know exactly, but he sure looks like a big tzaddik. And he's waiting for your tati. Oh, why is he waiting for my tati? Well, I don't know, but let's just wait and see. And a little while later, Kinalach, tati comes home into his house. And he came actually from next door. Now, next door was a little room also attached to their house. And over there is where the tati worked. Okay, and you're going to find out exactly what he did pretty soon. The tati worked like right next door to the house. And now the tati comes into the house and he sees the Baal Shem Tov. Oi, what's the Baal Shem Tov doing in my house? The great tzaddik, the Baal Shem Tov. Actually, Kinalach, it could be that he didn't even know it was the Baal Shem Tov. Only he sees this yid sitting in this house. The tati came home, and he sees a very special yid looking, a very special looking yid sitting in his house. And the man thought, it must be one of those people that goes around and collects money for tzedakah. I'm a shulach. Maybe he's collecting money for a yeshiva or something, but I'm such a poor man. What can I give him, a penny? Maybe I have a penny, maybe even not. I don't even know if I have a penny. This is what he thinks to himself. And he goes over to the Baal Shem Tov. Yes, could I help you? Baal Shem Tov says, I have come collecting money, and I want you to give 18 rubles. 18 rubles is saying, like, I want you to give $500. For that man, it's at least like $500. Now, that's a lot of money, Kinalach. It's a lot of money, $500. 18 rubles for this poor yid was like you have to give $500. And he says, but I don't have how can I get $500? I would like to give you, but how can I get so much money? And the Baal Shem Tov says, I have an idea. Why don't you sell all of your bedding? Sell your blankets. Sell your pillows. Sell your sheets. Maybe if you want, you could sell a mattress. Go to the marketplace and sell all of the things you need in order to sleep. Now, can you imagine, Kinalach? The Baal Shem Tov is telling somebody to take away his kids' blankets and his own blankets to keep him warm at night. And this is a house that doesn't have nice heating, and it's not a warm house. The walls are broken. You can even see through them in certain places. And the Baal Shem Tov is telling them, sell all of your blankets and warm quilts and pillows. And Kinalach, the Talmidim, of course, wondering what in the world is going on. Why is the Baal Shem Tov doing this? But they didn't ask anything. And of course, Kinalach, as it says, a tzaddik is like Hashem. Just like everything Hashem does is good, everything a tzaddik does is good. Somehow, some way, the Baal Shem Tov is not just being mean, but he's doing good. He's doing something good. Of course, we don't understand it. We don't understand the ways of a tzaddik. The man gathered up all of the quilts and the blankets and the pillows, even from the baby's room, and even from all the kids, and his own and his wife's, and he took them now to the marketplace, and he stood there for a while. Who wants to buy a blanket? Who wants to buy a nice quilt? And who wants to buy a nice warm pillow, a nice soft pillow? And people came to buy it, and he sold everything, and at the end of the time, he had exactly 18 rubles, which is what the Baal Shem Tov had asked for. And he comes back to his house, and he gives the money to the Baal Shem Tov, and the Baal Shem Tov gets up, and he takes the money, and he starts to walk out. He starts to walk out, and as he's going to his wagon, the husband and the wife and the kids are following the Baal Shem Tov, probably for two reasons. One reason is that when a guest leaves your house, you have to go along with him. And the other reason is, maybe he'll change his mind and give us back our money so we can go buy back our pillows and blankets so we're not going to be freezing tonight. But Kinalach, the Baal Shem Tov, did not say a word, and he did not turn around. He walked to his wagon, and he took off with the 18 rubles. And now the family turns around, and they go back into their house. And it's getting to be dark. And of course, pretty soon, they're going to have to put the kiddies to sleep. And they'll have to go to sleep themselves. And it's getting cold. And the Tati sees, oh, it's so late. I better daf mincha quickly, because it's mincha time. And he says, Ashrei. And he turns to the wall and he says, Shemona Esrei. And Kinalach, he said with so much kavana and so much from his heart, asking Hashem, please Hashem help us. We're so poor and we have no money even in order to have what we need for sleeping. And of course, we hardly have any food, because the last food they gave, I forgot to tell you this. The Baal Shem Tov sat down by the table and his Talmidim, and the lady of the house sees, oh, she has orchim, you know, you have to feed them, you have to give them something to eat. And she looks at her Kinalach, and the Kinalach are hungry for supper. And she looks over there on the counter, and she had a few pieces of bread that she was planning to give her Kinalach. And instead, she served the bread to the Baal Shem Tov and his Talmidim. And the Baal Shem Tov and his Talmidim get up to wash to eat the bread. And the Talmidim wonder, oh, it looks like such a poor family. Maybe they won't have enough for themselves. So how can we eat the bread? And Kinalach, you know, there is a halacha in Shulchan Aruch. If there's not enough food, you can't go asking somebody and take away their food. If they only have enough for themselves, you can't go and take it away from them. And the Baal Shem Tov knows this halacha. Of course, the Baal Shem Tov knows Shulchan Aruch. But the Baal Shem Tov said, let's wash and let's eat. And they washed and they ate the bread up. And Kinalach, that was the last food that the family had. But again, no questions. Again, no questions. They ate up the bread, and they know the Baal Shem Tov accepted to eat the bread. And now, Kinalak, the Tati is davening Mincha, and he sees there's no food left in the house, and there's no quilts left in the house, and there's no blankets left in the house. And he knows that they're going to be hungry and cold, and he davens to Hashem to help. And he davens Ma'ariv. And the kids cry, Tati, Mommy, we're hungry. Can we eat supper? And Mommy and Tati say, there is no supper. Because the food is gone. You have to go to Shluffy. And the kiddies say, Mommy, Tati, we're so cold. Where's the blanket and where's the quilt? And there's no blanket and there's no quilt. And the davening that night, Kinalach, he never davened like that before in his life, asking Hashem to help. Kinalach, listen to what happened. I want you to listen to very closely. That night, as the Tati is sitting learning Torah in his cold house, and once in a while he has to go over to a crying child and calm them down because it's cold and they fall back asleep on their little bed without a blanket, without a pillow. Oh, Tati, my head, my neck is uncomfortable, I don't have a pillow. Tati, I'm cold. Kinalach, try your best. And Mommy wakes up because she's hungry. And Tati sat to learn Torah. All of a sudden, there's a knock on the door. Who's there? It's me. It's me. My name is Ivan. I want a drink of mashke. I'm thirsty. I want a nice drink of mashke. I hear that you have a place where you drink mashke. So open it up for me and give me to drink. Now remember I told you that right next door was a room and that's where the Tati worked? Well, I'll tell you what he did. He serves different kinds of drinks to people that want to drink. Now, that's called either a tavern or like a little restaurant. And many times, that's what a Yid did for a parnasa, that Goyim would come, and probably sometimes even Yidden would come, but mostly Goyim would come, and they want a nice drink of mashke or a whiskey or something strong to drink. And they go over there and drink and maybe eat a little bit, and they pay a little bit of money, and they go to work or they go to their farm or they go on traveling or whatever it is. And this little kind of a restaurant was his little shtickle parnasa that he made a little money. And now some goy is coming in the middle of the night and he wants him to open it up in order to drink some mashke. Now ordinarily he would say, no, go away, it's the middle of the night, why should I open up for you? But who knows that a goy who comes in the middle of the night, maybe he's going to make trouble, he'll get upset because you don't open it for him. So he decided the best thing will be to open it up and serve him a drink. He goes out, opens up the door to the little restaurant place, and he lets in the goy, and the goy sits down by a table, and then he goes over to his barrel of mashke, and he shakes it, and he sees that it's empty. He doesn't even have any mashke to serve anymore. He's so poor. He ran out of mashke. He didn't even have money to buy anymore. He thought maybe there's something left in there. He hears maybe there's a few drops. So he takes some water and he dumps it in and he swishes it around that it collects any mashke that maybe is on the side of the wall of the big, you know, it's a big wooden like a barrel. And he put that into a cup, mostly water, maybe a little bit of mashke, and he serves it to the goy. And the goy drinks it down. He was afraid the goy will get upset because it's not really all mashke. And the goy drinks it down, and he puts down the cup. Oh, that's the best mashke I ever had in my life. Oh, is that delicious? Oh, give me some more. Well, okay, he puts some more water in there, swishes it around. He served that to the goy. Of course, this is going to be weaker this time than the other time, because there's probably nothing left. And the goy drinks it down. Oh, that's delicious. Oh, that's wonderful. Wonderful. I would like some more of that. And he does it again. And the goy says, I'm full. you know what? I don't have any money now, but I'll pay you a different time because I really like your mashke. Well, can Allah, the goy left without paying anything. And now the yid, of course, has no choice. He goes back into his house. And now he doesn't even have one drop of anything left. And no money at all. And he decided it's time to go to sleep. And he goes to sleep. In the middle of the night, another knock on the door. Who's there in the middle of the night? It's Ivan. You know, I drank before. I got thirsty again. I want some more to drink. Well, what kind of a person is this? He drank three times. He came when the store was closed. And now he comes again and he has no money. I have some money this time. Oh, yeah? Okay. At least it's some money. He lets them in again, goes over, gives them a few drinks from the same swishing around for the water. And the goy gave him a silver coin that was worth a lot of money. In fact, it was worth so much money, it was worth more than all the drinks that he drank that night. The guy says, you know, this is the best mashke that I ever drank. I'm going to tell my friends, and I'm going to make sure they all come to drink your mashke. Well, kinalach, in the morning, the yid took the money, and he bought some real good mashke, that he has real mashke in his store. And he also got change because it was more money than the goy really had to pay. And now the goy comes back that day, and he even brought some of his friends, and they sat down to drink, and this time it was really good mashke, and they paid money, and the yid gave him even back the change from the night before, and the goy saw the yid is very honest. And the goyim paid the money, and they drank. And kinalach, a few hours later, the same ones came back with more of their friends. And that night, they came back with more of their friends until this place became full of people always drinking and eating. And they told their friends, and their friends told friends. And anybody that was in the area always stopped by this yid. And they drank his mashke, and they ate the food that they served there. And his place even sometimes had a line outside of people that wanted to get in. And sometimes people would come and they would bring their families and their friends, and they had whole families waiting outside to try to get in to drink and to eat in that place. And it was always full, day and night full, until the yid was so busy with people, he added on another room, and he made the first room bigger, and he got more tables and chairs, and he made benches outside in order that they should have place to sit. And he made so much money, he built for himself a beautiful, nice new house and a nice new yard with new fences. And then he got more money and he bought fields and he bought places with trees in it and lakes until he became a very rich man. He had cows and shepselach, and he had fields with food, with wheat, with apples, with oranges. And of course he got blankets and his beds. Of course he got pillows back and quilts and pajamas for the kiddies. Until kinalach, about a year later, the Baal Shem Tov and his Talmidim came back to the same place. And they remembered, the Talmidim remembered that this was the place that they had been a year before. The poor, poor place. But when they went past the trees and they looked to see the house, and they looked to see the yard, they couldn't believe their eyes. It was completely changed. It wasn't an old, broken-down house. It was a big, beautiful house with a big, beautiful yard, and it was so beautiful. They said, wait a minute. We remember last year, on the other side of these trees, was a broken-down house. What's going on over here? And Baal Shem Tov says, it's the same family, but of course, they became very, very rich. And the students asked the Baal Shem Tov, why was it last year that they were so poor and you asked them for so much money? Why was that? And the Baal Shem Tov, answered, are you ready to hear? And the Baal Shem Tov answered that listen closely. In the Shemayim, when we were passing this house, I saw there was a big bracha in the Shemaim for this poor, poor family, that they were going to become very rich. But the bracha was staying in the Shemaim, and it was not coming into the house to the family. What was missing? The bracha was not missing. Only one little thing was missing for the bracha come down, that the man in the house had to daven to Hashem to help. Now, the Baal Shem Tov said, I saw the only thing missing was just one tefillah. One davening, that he would daven to Hashem, please help us. That's all he was missing. Now, a long time ago, there was a tzaddik named Rabbi Hoshea. And Rabbi Hoshea had a little boy, and he wanted to have his little boy learn Torah. And in those days, the little boy didn't necessarily go to a cheder or yeshiva. Sometimes they found one teacher for one little boy, especially if he's a very smart little boy. They found one Rebbe to take care of that one little boy, and that Rebbe would teach the little boy Torah. He would be his melamed. So Rabbi Hoshea found his little boy a very, very good Rebbe, a very good teacher, who was also a big Talmud Chochem. But Kenalach, there was a very special thing about this Talmud Chochem that was not by most people, and it was that he was blind. You know what it means, he was blind? He could not see. Now, Kenalach, most of us probably don't know a blind person. Some of us maybe do. But you can just think to yourself what it would be like if you close your eyes and never see at all. And of course, you have to go around and take care of yourself and have special ways to be able to get around. So that makes a blind person different. But, of course, in a way, they're exactly just like everybody else, because especially this Talmud Chochem was the teacher for Rabbi Hoshea's son, but he was blind. Kinalach, it's very important to have obvious Ahavas Yisrael for every Yid and every person, and especially if a person is different in a certain way, you should chas v'shalom never make them feel bad because they're different, because actually everybody is different in a certain way. Everybody is different than everyone else. And just like you don't want to be made to feel uncomfortable because you're different, so you don't want to make somebody else feel uncomfortable because they're different, especially if they have a handicap. If they can't walk, or they're blind, or chas v'shalom, a person can't hear. Sometimes it's different, it's a different feeling to be with such a person. So we just need a special kind of a good feeling of Avos Yisrael, not to make them feel different. Now, because Rabbi Hoshea respected and loved the Rebbe of his son, and he didn't care that he was blind. In fact, he wanted to take special care of him to make him feel special good. So Rabbi Hoshea thought to himself, what can I do for my son's Rebbe, just specially to make him feel good, and that he should feel that we like him so much? So he decided that every single day he will invite his son's Rebbe to eat dinner, what we call lunch. The big meal of the day was in the afternoon, and every day Rabbi Hoshea invited his son's Rebbe to eat with him, to eat with the family. And he was like a part of the family.
but he lived in a different place. And each day he came, but he only came when he was invited. And every day Rabbi Yoshea would go over to him where he lived with his son and say, please come to eat with us lunch today. One time, sometime in the morning, before the big meal of the day, before lunch, what of course I told you some people call it dinner, all of a sudden some guests, some orachim showed up by Rabbi Yoshea. Some people that came to his house, maybe they're relatives, maybe they were friends, whoever they were, and they started to sit down and talk, and Rabbi Yoshea saw that these people were such people that did not exactly talk so nicely, and they did not exactly have so much respect in Av Yisrael, especially the way they spoke about other people. And all of a sudden, Rabbi Yoshea got worried, what's going to happen if my son's Rebbe, who's blind, comes to sit by our table by lunch today, and if these people, it looks like these people are going to be staying by lunchtime, I'm very afraid that they might say something that's going to hurt the feelings of my son's Rebbe. They might feel uncomfortable because there's somebody blind by the table, and we're used to it. And they might, chas v'shalom, say something that might make him feel uncomfortable. And nobody wants to be made to feel uncomfortable. And nobody wants to be feeling that, you know, they are not wanted, chas v'shalom. And so he was very worried, what's going to happen if his son's Rebbe comes to lunch today with these people? What's going to happen? And he thought about it, and he thought about it, and he decided that this one day he will not invite his son's Rebbe to eat lunch with them. Why? Not because he didn't want him by the table. He wanted him by the table. He was just worried that something might happen, something might be said that will make the blind Rebbe feel not good. He might feel hurt or ashamed, because this is the kind of way these people spoke. And in order not to hurt his feelings, that he should be protected from these people that might say something not nice, so Rabbi Yoshea did not go over to his house, to the Rebbe's house, and invite him that day to eat the lunch. And so the time went on, and the Rebbe of the boy went home for lunch. The Rebbe of the boy, he thought to himself, I wonder why Rabbi Yoshea did not invite me today to go and eat in his house. Did he forget about me? I don't think so, because every single day he comes to invite me. Maybe he doesn't like me anymore. Maybe he feels uncomfortable because, you know, I'm blind. Maybe he doesn't want me by his table anymore. No, but I shouldn't think like that, because I don't know for sure. Maybe something happened. I don't know. And so the Rebbe just waited in his house. Anyway, Kinalach, a few hours went by, and those people that were in Rabbi Yoshea's house, they left, and now they were gone. And right away, Rabbi Yoshea ran over to the blind Rebbe's house, and he said, I'm so sorry I didn't come earlier to invite you to eat by our house. And if you did not eat, I would please like you to come right now, and I'll tell you the reason why. Chas v'shalom, don't think anything bad of me. We really love to have you over. But we had these people over, and the way they were talking and the kind of people they were, I was afraid they would say something that would hurt your feelings, so I decided that just one day not to invite you, but now they're gone, so please come. And the blind Rebbe smiled, and he was a big Talmud Chacham and a big tzaddik, and he said, Rabbi Yoshea, I want to give you a bracha. Now listen to this bracha, a very interesting bracha, Kinalach. He said, you came to make me feel better. You were concerned to make me feel better. And what kind of a person am I? I'm a person that everybody sees, but I can't see anybody. Right? Everybody could see me, but I can't see. And you came to change over my feelings of feeling bad to feeling good. You were afraid that I would feel bad, and you wanted me to feel good. So you came to change over my feelings. So I'm going to give you such a bracha also, like to change something over. Hashem is one who sees, but you can't see him, right? What is Hashem? Hashem sees everything, but can you see Hashem? No. So he said, because of your Am Yisrael, so the one who sees but cannot see, he should give you a bracha. And of course, Rabbi Yeshua was very happy to get